But to Cecil, now that he was about to lose her, she seemed each moment more desirable. He looked at her instead of through her for the first time since they were engaged. In a burst of genuine devotion, he cried, "But I love you, and I did think you loved me."
"I did not," she said. "I thought I did at first."
"I am sorry, and ought to have refused you this last time, too." He began to walk up and down the room, and she grew more and more vexed at his dignified behaviour. She had counted on his being petty. It would have made things easier for her. By a cruel irony, she was drawing out all that was finest in his disposition.
"You don't love me, evidently. I dare say you are right not to, but it would hurt a little less if I knew why."
"Because..." A phrase came to her. "You're the sort who can't know anyone intimately." A horrified look came into his eyes.
"I don't mean exactly that, but you will question me, though I beg you not to, and I must say something. It is that, more or less. When we were only acquaintances, you let me be myself, but now you're always protecting me."
Her voice swelled.
"I won't be protected. I will choose for myself what is ladylike and right. Can't I be trusted to face the truth, but I must get it second hand through you? You despise my mother, I know you do, because she's conventional and bothers over puddings. But oh, goodness!" She rose to her feet. "Conventional? Cecil, you're that, for you may understand beautiful things, but you don't know how to use them, and you wrap yourself up in art and books and music, and would try to wrap up me. I won't be stifled, not by the most glorious music, for people are more glorious, and you hide them from me. That's why I break off my engagement. You were all right as long as you kept to things, but when you came to people..." She stopped. There was a pause. Then Cecil said, with great emotion, "It is true." "True, on the whole," she corrected, full of some vague shame.
"True. Every word.
It is a revelation," he repeated.
"The sort that can know no one intimately. It is true. I fell to pieces the very first day we were engaged. I behaved like a cad to Beebe and to your brother. You are even greater than I thought."
She withdrew a step.
"I shall never forget your insight. And, dear, I only blame you for this. You might have warned me in the early stages, before you felt you wouldn't marry me, and so have given me a chance to improve. I have never known you till this evening. I have just used you as a peg for my silly notions of what a woman should be. But this evening, you're a different person. New thoughts. Even a new voice."
"What do you mean by a new voice?" she asked,
seized with incontrollable anger.
"I mean that a new person seems speaking through you," said he.
She cried, "If you think I am in love with someone else, you are very much mistaken."
"Of course I don't think that. You're not that kind, Lucy."
"Oh, yes, you do think it. If a girl breaks off her engagement, everyone says, 'Oh, she had someone else in her mind.' It's disgusting, brutal, as if a girl can't break it off for the sake of freedom."
He answered reverently, "I may have said that in the past. I shall never say it again. You have taught me better. I only meant that there was a force in you that I hadn't known of up till now.